We turn to God's Word again. This time we're turning to the book of 2 Kings, finishing our story of Elijah this morning. Of course, Elijah reappears on the Mount of Transfiguration, so it's not quite an end to his story, but it's an end to his earthly life, and it's where we're drawing this series to an end this morning. 2 Kings chapter 2. Reading from verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 2, reading from verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went down together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." But Elisha replied again, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together to Jericho. Then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." But again, Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The water divided and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I'm taken from you, then you will get your request, but if not, then you won't." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then the river divided, and Elisha went across. When the group of prophets from Jericho saw from a distance what had happened, they exclaimed, "Elijah's spirit rests upon Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Sir," they said, "just say the word and 50 of our strongest men will search the wilderness for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has left him on some mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha said, "don't send them." But they kept urging him until they shamed him into agreeing. And finally he said, "All right, send them." So 50 men searched for 3 days, but did not find Elijah. Elijah was still at Jericho when they returned. "Didn't I tell you not to go?" he asked. Amen. We end our reading there. This morning we say goodbye to Elijah. We've read the heights he scaled on Mount Carmel. His trust in God when fed by the ravens and then by the widow in Zarephath. Not to mention how he raised her son from the dead. I hope that we have been encouraged through his low points. His utter fear when threatened by Jezebel. His depression when he told God that it would be better if he died. Yet in these dark times, we watched God care for him as he gave him sleep, as he fed him, and gave him a companion and friendship in the form of Elisha. And the relationship between Elijah and Elisha was so much more than that of a teacher and a pupil. It had become a father-son relationship. And we see the depth of that relationship when Elisha watched Elijah being taken up to heaven. Elisha cried out, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel. Chapter 13 of verse 2. In life, there comes a time whenever the people we have relied upon and loved move on. And we are left to pick up their mantle, just as Elisha was. Doesn't matter whether we're at work and someone leaves or retires or gets promotion, and so we're asked to fill their shoes. Or maybe we get married or leave home, or our parents get to a stage where they can no longer help us, and so we must stand on our own two feet. Life is about being prepared to take over from somebody. And the Christian life ought to be no different. Because just as children learn how to live from parents, or an apprentice learns a trade from a fully qualified trade person, so as Christians, we ought to learn what it is to live for Christ from one another. Jesus himself said to his disciples in Matthew 4, verse 19, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And for 3 years, 12 men, along with several women and a number of others who came and went, followed Jesus. And he showed them how to fish for people. He taught them to love and to heal. He taught them how to speak God's word into people's lives. He taught them how to be a servant to all. The true cost of sacrifice. Then Jesus, like Elijah, left his disciples. And it was time for them to put into practice all they had learned. How are we discipling other Christians? How do we mentor the next generation of leaders? Is there a succession plan in place that means that we have started today training our next generation of campaigners chiefs? Or have we started training the next PW leader or committee members or elders? Have we identified who will be sent from this place to serve Christ overseas? Or as a deaconess, or a minister, or a youth worker? How are we supporting the next generation of business leaders, shop owners, carers, teachers, who will take the good news of Jesus Christ into the workplace? To whom have we said, come, follow me? The normal pattern in churches when it comes to succession is that somebody comes along and they announce that they're about to leave, usually within a very short space of time. And then it's left to the minister or the elders or to somebody else to fill that space. That's not the pattern we see in Scripture, because in Scripture we see that as a church, as Christians, as leaders, we should be taking people under our wings. We should be letting them into our lives so that they can see, first of all, our relationship with God, but also see how we lead organizations or how we serve in the church. Which means that whenever the time comes for us to move on, somebody is already there, ready to take over. That's discipleship. And it goes beyond just trying to find the next set of leaders. It's how we live the Christian life. Who are we reading the Bible with? Who are we teaching how to pray? Who are we discipling? Of course, when we look at Elijah and Elisha, the onus wasn't simply on Elijah to teach Elisha everything he knew. Elisha had to have the commitment and the willingness to take on the responsibility he was being prepared for. Remember how he burnt his plow and slaughtered his oxen when called to follow Elijah in 1 Kings 19. Stephen talked to us about commitment. No turning back. Elisha demonstrated there was no turning back whenever he started following Elijah. And to be a disciple of Jesus, to enter into a mentoring relationship with Jesus as well as with other Christians, takes commitment. The very nature of a mentoring relationship means that we invest time in one another, that we develop a dependence on the one that we're being mentored by. And that's why we find striking out on our own so difficult. And Elisha was no different. Whenever he and Elijah moved from town to town, just before Elijah was taken up to heaven, large numbers of prophets came out from each of the towns and they asked the same question. Did you know the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? Elisha did know. We're told in verse 1 that they knew. We're told that when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, that Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. Just because Elisha knew what was happening didn't mean that he was happy about it, didn't mean that he wanted to talk about it, because after being asked the same question over and over again, he had the same answer time and time again. Of course I know, but be quiet about it. None of us like taking that final step of responsibility. Very naturally, it raises all kinds of questions in our heads. Can we do the job? Will we be as good as the person who went before? Can God really use me? Do I know enough? Am I ready? They're all good questions. But they're questions we will never be able to answer with any degree of certainty unless we step out in faith. Before Elijah was taken up to heaven, he asked Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away." And Elisha replied, "Let me inherit a double share of your spirit, become your successor." Verse 9. Elisha was acknowledging that while God had many prophets in Israel, and through this story we read how God told Elijah there were 7,000 who hadn't bowed the knee to the Baals. Some of them we've met today as they came out of the towns to greet Elijah and Elisha. But Elisha knew that the call on his life was different, that he'd been set apart to succeed Elijah. And in asking for this double spirit, on the one hand, he was acknowledging what God had said to him, but on the other hand, he was asking for some more proof, some more evidence that yes, it was actually true. He was asking something Elijah couldn't answer for him. It had to be received by faith. And whenever God makes a call on our lives, that call can only be fulfilled through faith. We can ask for all the proofs we want, but ultimately, we will only know for sure when we take that step of faith. The church has a responsibility to mentor each one of us. But as people who are being mentored, as people who are disciples, we have a responsibility to use our training by stepping out in faith. The New King James Bible describes Elijah's robe as his mantle. It tells us that whenever he was taken up to heaven, that his mantle fell to the ground, that Elisha rolled it up, struck the water with it, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Elisha took on Elijah's mantle by copying what he'd seen Elijah do. But it required faith, it required courage to step out on his own. How are we taking on the mantle of our mentors? Is it time for us to step out in faith by copying all that we've been shown? By becoming the next generation of leaders, of prophets, of preachers, of youth workers? Is it time to stop asking questions about our suitability and to start testing our calling by doing? I long for the day when we have a line of people at the front of the church telling their story about how God has been at work in their lives. But the first person who tells their story will tell it because it relates to what the next person has to say and what God's been doing in their lives. And their story will relate to what the next person has to say and what God's been doing through them, and so on and so on. And so we have a generations of Christians telling the story of how God has been at work in his church with his people. That's church. That's Christian community. That's what it means to be a disciple. Over the last number of years, we've been doing some discipleship, some mentoring here in Moneydig. And in September, if you would like to be part of that, if you would like to be mentored by someone, to be discipled by someone, not necessarily by me, but by another Christian, another leader, then please speak to me. And let's begin to raise up another generation of servants within the church. But please be aware that to be a disciple will ultimately mean stepping out in faith and taking up the mantle of God's calling. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your call on our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you call us not to stand still, but to move forward. You call us to grow and develop in you, to bear fruit. And so we pray, Lord, that you would teach us what it is to be a disciple, to be a follower, to be a learner, to be a doer. And that in doing this, Lord, that you would move through your church, and that you would bring growth, not just in numbers, Lord, but in people, in our understanding of who you are and what it means to be a Christian. And this we ask in Jesus' name.